Well, the long-awaited time has arrived. Kumuhula ke halani ke kua, and the alakai of the halau, Aikane Alapai, are here in the studio with me to talk about Ha'aha'ena, the wonderful event that we've been talking about for well over a week now. And let me grab my notes here. And we will get started. I know we've received many phone calls about when you're going to be here, Kumu.
Wow, that's
and
exciting.
Here you
We're
are.
Excited, and thank you so much. And aloha kaka hiaka to Kauai out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
And let's see here. Aikane, say something again. I didn't hear you.
Aloha Kauai.
Okay, that's better. I think they can hear you. I'm turning all the microphones on just in case. Okay, well, Kumu, would you like to start off with anything in particular? Prayer, a chant, anything? Or just go?
Yeah, it's always appropriate to do a pule and a prayer chant. Especially with all the activities we have coming up this week and all the inspiration that we've received to get to this point and what's, you know, motivating us forward. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Ka ukahali ai kamanava e yamoe ko hola na oi oe o hala ulani o akale me he manue kaninei ke kuai ke gualo no Igu male ua igu mo I egi elai I lunai ukai O I au me o ela ka I kana helele I hoa kana no I e ua I Walono e ho I mai e. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Okay, that was beautiful.
Kaukahalia is one of several ancient mele pule that has been part of the traditional practice of Aiha'a and Hula for since antiquity. And we use it to gather inspiration. We use it to ask permission. We use it to petition the divine in nature to inspire us in our dance and in the wisdom that's that permeates from, you know, from all of nature, but specifically for us as Hula people, where all of our sacred plants come from. It speaks to the, you know, that tranquility and that sacredness of our native forest.
I see.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, the name of this event that is coming up on Saturday is called Ha'aha'ena, Entering the Consciousness of Hula, and I call it an event because it is.
Yes, it is.
And I have read that the halau will be honoring the volcanic energies of Pele Honu Amea and Hiaka Ika Polio Pele.
Yes.
And I have to admit that I did not know of Haena on the Big Island at Keaau in Puna until you took the halau on Huaka'i there last fall.
Yes, all of my life I have danced, I have chanted, I have immersed myself in the mo'olelo of Hi'iaka and Pele, well, Pele and Hi'iaka, and I've always known that there was a Haena on Hawaii Island in Puna, and it's quite famous in hula and in chant. For Hawaii Island people and for the islands that are eastward of Kauai, Haena in Puna is the birthplace of hula for many of those schools of hula, and especially for Hawaii Island. And so it is the place that hula was inspired by nature first danced by the goddess Hiiaka Kapoliopele, as taught to her by a friend whose name was Hopoi. And so I've always known about her, and I've always dreamed about it. And here I am, you know, many decades into my life, so we won't really be specific. But finally, I had the opportunity myself to go there, to witness it, to feel it, to enjoy it, and it's quite beautiful. And so there was no one in the group, including the Kumu or the Alakai, that had ever experienced it. In October last year, there were about 45 of us that took this Huaka'i, this cultural learning excursion to Hawaii Island. We based ourselves up in a beautiful retreat center in Volcano, in the rainforest amongst the hapu'u fern trees.
Beautiful.
And ohi'alehua trees, and it was and all the native birds, but that was one of our highlights. And so we made the trek, and I want to thank my dear hula brother and a friend who's a kumu hula from Hawaii Island. His name is Kumu Auli'i Mitchell of Halau Kahiwahiwa. And he too comes from a family tradition of hula, but he hosted us and took us. And so when I asked him, in preparing for the group to make sure that we could all make it to Haena, I asked him, "So how long is the hike?" And he said, "Oh, about 30 minutes. 30 minutes it is not, but definitely it was a trek and a journey well worth our effort. A few miles, I might say, but it really was for me, and I believe for many of my homeowner, it really was a rites of passage. And, you know, just walking in those footsteps, you know, of Hiiaka and going down to Haena, and it is gorgeous. It's beautiful.
It must be.
And it looks like our Haena.
See, that was my next question. It seems to me that the Haena here on Kauai is better known.
Yes.
And yet the two places are perhaps, I don't know, equal in sacredness.
Yes, they are in their own way. Mm-hmm. And both are intrinsically linked and connected.
Mm-hmm.
But physically, they sort of look alike too.
Do they?
Yeah. It has a, you know, a cove like we do at KA. And, you know, with the rocks jutting out and the trees, and the water is crystal clear blue with underground springs, and it's just lovely.
Mm, beautiful. Well, would you talk about then how or why you selected this, I guess, Wahipana, Wahikupuna, as the theme of the event that's coming up Saturday?
Yeah, well, you know, I always look for names or titles that will inspire and invigorate our studies. And so I came up with the theme and the phrase Ha'ahaena, and took it right out of a chant. And it comes from the chant Ke Ha'ala Puna'ika Makani, which is the chant that Hiiaka dances to. So in the oral traditions of documenting history, Ke Ha'ala Puna'ika Makani is the very first dance that's logged in the memories of our ancestors from that particular island.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's very profound. Mm. And I've known, as I mentioned earlier, I've known and I've danced this hula all of my life, and there is a part in there that speaks that, you know, Ha'ahaena. And so I thought, you know, it says many, many things. Simply, it means Ha'ena dances, but Ha'a comes from the formal word Aiha'a, which is the traditional word that describes the practice. Later on became known as hula. And not until the 1800s was the term hula used. Prior to that, at least for our traditions here on Kauai, and the traditions that we come from, Halau Palaihi Voka'i Puai, it was formally called Aiha. And so ai means to consume, but it also means to internalize. Mm. And ha'a comes from the word ha'aha'a, which is humility.
I see.
And so through the dance, the training that goes far and beyond the mechanics of voice and movement or chant and dance, really has to do with the deeper spiritual meditation and manifestation of mana and moving energy to that comes from, you know, the core of understanding humility. So it's quite beautiful.
I was just thinking that. Oh my gosh, yeah. That really is beautiful. Oh my goodness.
And ha'ena itself, ha'ena means, you know, the intense breath. And you know, all my life I knew that it was the literal meaning, especially because I've always had this pili and this connection with arha, and I'm born and raised in Anahola, but coming out to Halele'a and Hanale, and especially to Haena, was always a treat with my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And I grew up hearing them sing about it, tell stories about it. I watched all of the years growing up in the shadow of my grandmother as a lo'ea and as a kumuhula, teaching her students and teaching and speaking, and I can still see the excitement in her face when she, you know, taught hula and chants and songs about ha'ena. Mm-hmm. So, but it really wasn't until, oh gosh, you know, within the last, I would say, 10 to 12 years, that I began to really, truly understand the other parts of the word ha'ena, having to do with the intense breath of the sun. And so that's why our journey, our pilgrimage, really, to Hawaii Island to seek out the experience of being at the ha'ena on Hawaii Island and observing the sunrise, chanting up the sun. Both Aikane and I have spent many, many years under the guidance and the expert tutelage of Kumuloya Polani Kanaka Ole Kanahele.
Oh, yes.
Who has held this knowledge for so long. And as long as I've been an apprentice under her, I will, you know, easily admit that a lot of those years was not filled with clarity as to what she was trying to convey to us as far as alignments were concerned and the importance of equinoxes and solstices in our own culture.
I see.
You know, we've all heard about equinoxes and solstices and the movements of the sun, but to be able to articulate it from a very archaic place and knowing, eventually the light bulb went off, and I mean, it's been years now that the light bulb went off, and just something that I am just totally inspired and very humbled by the fact that our kupuna kahiko, our ancient ancestors, held such intimate knowledge of these observances and tracking the sun, and how the word ha'ena and the places known by the name of ha'ena confirms that, is a reaffirmation of that ancient wisdom and knowledge. And it's so accurate. It's so accurate that I'm befuddled by all of it, you know, with no instruments, with no, you know, without the technology that we have today, how did they know? But they did. And all of the details to that are preserved and have been orally documented in the chants.
Beautiful.
And so the ha'ena on Hawaii is directly linked to the ha'ena on Kauai.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And in the production Ha'a Ha'ena, it is our goal, and it's been our inspiration to connect all of the ha'ena together. So we're paying tribute to the different ha'ena. And so the one that is mostly well known is ours.
Sure.
Because of all the ha'ena, and there are several, and I'm going to ask Kaikane to speak on that. But out of all of the ha'ena, it's the ha'ena on Kauai that has brought forth the most life.
Oh, I see.
And life and the highest levels of excellence when it comes to cultivation of the land and producing products of the land. When we look at ha'ena, you see how it was the breadbasket of our kupuna back in the day, and the richness and the wealth of the natural resources on the reefs, in the kai, with the fish, with sea life, on the land, from Mauka to Makai, it's just an ahupua'a that's teeming of wealth. Wealth, not the kind of wealth that we like, that we see when we drive up to Haena today. That right. is not what I'm talking
no,
about.
Not at all.
But I'm talking about the land and the plants and the, you know, there are things that grow in Haena that grow nowhere else in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
In Limahuli and in different parts of Haena, and the stories and the place names. All of that is just so inspiring, and we are truly, truly blessed to have at our fingertips and just the, you know, short walk down the road or a short drive down the road to be able to experience this rich history and this extremely, extremely sacred place. And then at the top of that that list, of course, is the you know, the seminary, Ka'uluapa'oa and Keahualaka, which is
right.
the hula temple.
Yes.
But before I get into that, I want to ask Aikane to speak about the different ha'ena, because he has personally experienced ha'ena outside of the main Hawaiian island chain.
Absolutely. And I just also wanted to elaborate, too, that ha'ena, you know, we've grown up, you know, watching the sunrise, watching the sunset. And there have been people talking about a green flash, you know, right when it breaks the horizon.
Right, that is, right, yes, right, right.
That is ha'ena. It's when the intensity of the day takes its first breath. It's when the intensity of the day takes its last breath. So in the ha'ena in Puna and Keao, that's where the day starts, we believe. In the east.
It is the easternmost point, too, in the Hawaiian archipelago.
Mm-hmm.
At Kumukahi.
And in Haena and Kauai, in the west, northwest, you know, we also believe that that's where it's take its last breath for the Kauai people. But I also wanted to extend beyond, you know, Kauai, beyond Lehua, beyond Kaula, beyond Nihoa, to the island of Mokumanamana, where there are multiple Haena there. Named Haena Ku, Haena Moe, Haena A'e, Haena Lala, Haena Mauhoalala. And just to realize the major alignments with this island, you know, as it pertains to the sun, the breath of the sun, the last breath of the sun, it really extends beyond what we know as the eight major Hawaiian islands. And all the way up to the island known as Necker or Mokumanamana. Also, if you look at Mana Mana, it's a reduplication of mana, which means power.
So, and energy.
And energy.
Spiritual power.
Therefore, intensifying the mana. But if you also think about it, Mana Mana also means like fingers, to outreach, to create alignments.
Right.
You know, if you think of a spider web, you can create, you can...
You can envision that.
You can envision that,
yes.
Right. The many linking alignments.
And these are mana mana lima, right? When
yes,
we look
yes,
at, you
yes.
know, the names of our different body parts.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
your fingers are mana mana lima, but it's that multiple extension of the hand.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so you know, I kind of had an opportunity to journey up to Mokumanamana several years ago. Was selected by our kumuloya, Pulani Kanaka Ole Kanahele, and there was a group of master practitioners of which he was a part of that sailed up to Mokumanamana for the summer solstice.
Oh my gosh!
So, Ikana, can you touch upon that a little bit?
Absolutely. When we got there, we discovered an island, you know, that was occupied 1,000%, you know, with so many life forms, different ia, sharks, you know, niuhi, manu, poe manu, many different types of birds, all the migratory seabirds, and it's as if they watch over this sacred place. And if you think of migratory birds, you can also, you know, realize the mana mana as well, as they have traveled from many places. They go out and live their life on the ocean and come back to their home.
Yes.
And also the intense, very beautiful sights that are still on the islands. Many different uprights and many different sections of the islands that you know, represent antiquity in a real ancient state. It's a very, very old island. Even as you walk, you can feel the ancient feeling just within in the aina there. It's a real crumbly, rocky soil place where all the birds nest in the soil behind the rocks. There's no forest on the island, so the rain doesn't really hit the island because there's no forest to capture the clouds.
Right.
And so when you're there, it's like it's 100% sun until the nightfall, and then.
And the thousands and thousands of birds.
Absolutely. And it's not a place where somebody can live.
Yes.
So that is one of the things, you know, out of the thousands of things we talked about, that it's not a place where somebody can reside. It's a place where people came to honor and worship, and then they left. There's no water. In order for people to survive, you know, there's plenty of food there, but there's not that much water. There isn't even rain there. The highest plant there is probably right up just above your knee.
Mm-hmm.
And all the, you know, all the birds nest in these you know, very rare plants, the aveo veo, you know. And that's an interesting one too, that it's a fish,
right.
A veo veo.
A veo veo is it's a red fish.
It's a red fish, but it's also a plant. Yeah. So.
And that veo veo has also to do with the sun.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah. That redness. So when it blooms, it puts forth a very vibrant red flower. One of the things that Ikana did just mention was that there are a lot of uprights on the island. But you know, and as we travel throughout Hawaii, we see people just putting up stones,
right.
You know, just putting stones upright, to indicate or mark, you know, that they were there without any knowledge that it may or may not be a sacred place, or they go into Heiau and they put up, you know, they stand up stones and place, you know, uprights to mark a sacred space. But uprights, and Mokumanamana is an incredible example of the understanding behind these upright stones, is that they are markers that are in alignment with the different tracks of the sun. And so on this island, which is much, much smaller than Kauai, and it is Kupuna Island, it's much older. And is in its stage of, you know, going back into the ocean and deteriorating, you know, going back, you know, eventually to an atoll stage. But, you know, on the island are multiple heiau. They are heiau. And the multiple uprights are markers that our ancient ancestors have placed in alignment with the movements of the sun. And so, you know, so when Iconic folks went out there, they of course went to do ceremony, but they also went to do observances and to learn and to study. And it is amazing to be on the receiving end of this wisdom and this knowledge upon their return, to see how accurate and how on the dime these markers are. And so we have, there's images of sunrises and sunsets that fall directly onto, you know, different heiau and different uprights and different stone structures on the island. So he mentioned all of those different haena. To me, that was a major discovery for us.
Sure, yeah. Sounds like it.
Yes,
oh, phenomenal. I am speaking with Kumuhula Ke Haolani Ke Kua, the Kumuhula of Halau Palaihiva Okaipuai, and the Alakai of the Halau, Aikani Alapai. They are talking about this Saturday evening's classical hula kahiko theater production at KCC called Ha'a Ha'ena, Entering the Consciousness of Hula. Kumu, I know that listeners of Ho'onanea and the other Hawaiian music programs are interested in Oli.
Yes.
And I know this because often I will feature a segment of three or four of them that I've carefully chosen, and I almost always receive calls from them thanking me for playing them. But we are a global station, and not everyone understands the significance of Oli or chant. So can you talk briefly about the significance and what kinds of Oli will be featured in the Saturday night performance?
Absolutely. Oli simply means chant. And we come from an oral culture. And so in the different professions and guilds of ancient practices and ancient careers during the times of our Kupuna Kahiko, amongst them were the Po'e Hula, or the Hula people. And the primary responsibility of the Guild of Hula Practitioners was to orally document, maintain, and perpetuate all the intricacies and the details of the Hawaiian universe. So such a small thing, such a big area of responsibility. And it's because we come from an oral culture. There was no written language until the Calvinist missionaries arrived in 1820.
Exactly.
You know, could we have survived and lived on had reading and writing not been introduced? I believe so, yes. But even in this modern day and time, we are more modern day practitioners. We, you know, we have computers, we do the email thing, we utilize technology to enhance our perpetuation, you know, of our practices. But at the very bare bones of it, the voice and the skill of committing things to memory is very, very valuable. And so we did that through the forms of dances and chants. So in the practice of Oli or Hawaiian chant, there are many different styles. And we will be presenting several different styles of Oli at Ha'ahena on Saturday, which include Olioli, which is more of a melodic, almost a sing-songy type of vocal skill that you apply to chant. Olioli is perhaps the most recognized form of chant that people are most familiar with. And in fact, when other archaic chant styles are presented, people don't recognize it, such as Kepa Kepa and even Kaniko, Kavele style of chanting, all these different types of chant forms have just been rejuvenated over the last 2 or 3 decades. But most familiar people are with the sing-songy, more melodic Olioli style. But we will be offering many different chant styles at Ha'aha'ena this weekend. And in actuality, there are more than 40 selections that we've chosen of chants, Meleoli chants that are not danced to, Melehula, which are chants that are danced to, and various different types of chants in hula, including hula pele, which are chants that speak to and celebrate the volcanic activity of the Pele clan.
Yes.
The growth and the birth of new lands. There will be Pule Ho'oulu, which are prayer chants that ask for inspiration and growth, spiritual growth, physical growth, for the people and for the land.